Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's talk now about a new WBUR poll about attitudes around the label Democratic Socialist, which is the way Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders describes himself. In our survey of likely Democratic voters in New Hampshire, 60% said that a Democratic Socialist president would be acceptable to them.
Might be surprising given how radioactive the term socialism can be in American politics. For example, Republican Donald Trump derides Sanders as a socialist slashed communist. But Sanders defends his political identity, as he did in the most recent CNN presidential debate.
You call yourself a democratic socialist. How can any kind of socialist win a general election in the United States?
Well, we're going to win because first we're going to explain what democratic socialism is. And what democratic socialism is about is saying that it is immoral and wrong that the top 0.1% in this country own almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%.
Well, that brought Hillary Clinton into the exchange, who sought to sharpen a key difference between hers and Sanders by defending capitalism.
When I think about capitalism, I think about all the small businesses that were started because we have the opportunity and the freedom in our country for people to do that and to make a good living for themselves and their families. And I don't think we should confuse what we have to do every so often in America, which is save capitalism from itself.
In a moment, we're going to talk to a political expert from Harvard about what exactly democratic socialism is. But first, Steve Cozzella, president of Mass Inc. Polling, which conducted the WBUR poll, is with us. And Steve, welcome back to the program. It's always good to have you.
Good to be here.
So tell us what you asked those likely voters, Democrats in New Hampshire, about socialism and democratic socialism and how they responded.
We asked several questions. We asked whether they have a positive or negative view of both socialism and capitalism. And then we asked whether or not first a socialist president would be acceptable and then a democratic socialist president would be acceptable. Because as it turns out, there is a difference in opinion whether or not that happens when you add that democratic label in front of the term socialist.
All right. So tell us what you found. First of all, when they were asked about a socialist president, what did they say?
Yes. So even there, we found more saying that it would be acceptable than unacceptable. 48% said a socialist president of the United States would be acceptable. 36% said unacceptable. But interestingly, when you added the term democratic there, so democratic socialist, then you get up to 62% of Democratic primary voters saying that would be an acceptable. It'd be acceptable to have a president who was a democratic socialist.
All right. Now, do we have any idea about past attitudes? I mean, 60% of likely voters, it sounds high, but what do we know about past attitudes and whether that represents some kind of sea shift in attitudes around this term?
Yeah, well, certainly something to keep in mind is from Anderson's question that you ran just a minute ago is when this will become important is in the general election, because
sure.
This particular poll was Democratic primary voters. So his question as to whether or not Bernie Sanders can win the general is a very pertinent one, because when you look at other polls, both from before and even relatively recent polls, you see that the party split on this question is sharp. So while he does well in a Democratic primary in New Hampshire, while carrying the term socialist, it'll be a much heavier load to carry in the general.
Absolutely. So one more question, Steve. How does this compare with voter attitudes about the term capitalism? What did you find there?
Well, that to me was one of the most interesting things, is that despite, as many have said, that the fact that socialist is often viewed as almost an insult or as a pejorative term, you see in this poll that socialism is viewed almost as positively as capitalism.
Hmm.
So capitalism only does a few points better in terms of the percent who view it positively compared to socialism. And among young people, it's actually reversed. More people under 30 have a positive view of socialism than have a positive view of capitalism.
That's really interesting. Okay, that's Steve Cozzella. He's president of Mass Inc. Polling, and you can find a link to his full poll at radioboston.org. Steve, thanks, as always. Always good to have you.
Thank you.
And listeners, we want to hear from you on this. Do you think America's ready for a dose of democratic socialism? And by the way, how do you define that? What's the difference between, say, a democratic socialist and a liberal Democrat? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. And let's welcome Tim McCarthy. He's program director of the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard's Kennedy School. He's also a lecturer on history, literature, and public policy there. And Tim McCarthy, welcome to Radio Boston. It's really good.
Thank you. So, great having you.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Now, we're going to out you. You describe yourself as a democratic socialist, which is why we wanted to have you in. You say you haven't made up your mind whether you're supporting Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. But let's start with this basic definition. What is democratic socialism?
Well, there are lots of definitions of democratic socialism, which is one of the challenges, I think, for Senator Sanders in this election and for all of us who identify in this way. Basically, the way I think about democratic socialism is that we believe that both the economy and society should be run democratically, that you're yoking together a political system that is democratic, where people directly elect their political representatives, and an economic system that is socially controlled and democratically run for the benefit of the most number of people rather than the benefit of the few.
So basic question. Mm-hmm. You know, actually interesting thinking about Bernie Sanders. A number of years ago, I had an opportunity to interview him up in Burlington about middle class issues. And I mistakenly referred to him as you and your fellow liberals, and he stopped me and he said, "I'm not a liberal.
Yeah.
I'm a progressive."
Right.
And then he expanded a little bit on democratic socialism. But my question, and I would put it to him if he were sitting here, what's the difference between democratic socialism as he defines it and just a liberal Democrat?
Well, I don't want to speak for Senator Sanders, but I'll speak
but for you.
Myself. I think the basic difference is that the progressives or democratic socialists do believe that there needs to be far-reaching change both of our political system and of our economic system, that we need to get corporations and big money out of politics, where you need to restore the power to the people, where wealth should be redistributed, that inequality and gaps between the rich and the poor need to be eradicated, and that you can do that but only with a kind of transformational, he calls it a revolution, a transformational political project, as opposed to liberals who believe that the system as it stands, as it currently exists, is perhaps not in working perfectly, but can be tweaked and reformed from within. That most liberal Democrats believe, as Hillary Clinton does, that capitalism is maybe needs some reforming, but it's basically a good system. It's a system that works, the free market works, etc. Progressives and democratic socialists believe that capitalism is broken and that we need an alternative both to our political system and our economic system.
So maybe if we would pick a particular policy prescription, it might be health care reform. Mm-hmm. Hillary tried to design a plan that looked a lot like Obamacare, which was just basically a market-driven plan, right? Whereas Bernie Sanders wants to just make it Medicaid for all.
Right. Healthcare is a human right. I mean, that's what we believe. And I think that that's something that was lost in the debates, even early on in the debates that led to the Affordable Care Act. We need to remember that the Affordable Care Act actually is an iteration of something that started here in Massachusetts that Mitt Romney participated in the creation of, and the Pioneer Institute and other libertarian and more conservative projects. So the idea of healthcare for all is different from the Affordable Care Act. You still have people who are uninsured, who don't have access to affordable health care under the Affordable Care Act. And under Bernie Sanders' administration, there would be health care for all, and that would be a basic human right that was guaranteed and paid for by the government.
All right. I want to talk a little bit more about these differences between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and as they expressed them in the most recent debate. So here's another clip of Sanders being questioned by Anderson Cooper of CNN.
You don't consider yourself a capitalist, though.
Do I consider myself part of the casino capitalist process by which so few have so much and so many have so little, by which Wall Street's greed and recklessness wreck this economy? No, I don't. I believe in a society where all people do well, not just a handful of billionaires.
Now, Sanders at 1.2 said he'd look to countries like Denmark, Sweden, and Norway and learn what they have accomplished for working people, which prompted this from Hillary Clinton.
We are not Denmark. I love Denmark. We are the United States of America, and it's our job to rein in the excesses of capitalism so that it doesn't run amok and doesn't cause the kind of inequities that we're seeing in our economic system. But we would be making a grave mistake to turn our backs on what built the greatest middle class in the history
Senator
of the world.
Senator Sanders?
So how big is this gulf between Sanders and Clinton?
I mean, I think it's big. I mean, I think that the reality of accelerating wealth concentration at the top and growing inequality between the haves and the have-nots, the 1%, the 99%, to use Occupy's terms, is a huge problem, and that Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders have different policy approaches to fixing that problem. Bernie Sanders believes in something much more progressive, much more transformative. Hillary Clinton believes that capitalism is basically working and needs to be reformed from within. But one thing that I think is important to keep in mind is that the capitalism run amok is a thoroughly bipartisan problem, mm-hmm. that it was created and accelerated and perpetuated and enabled by Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Clinton and George W. Bush and, frankly, Barack Obama. And so this is not something that is a Republican problem or a Democratic problem. It's a bipartisan problem, that the wealth inequalities and inequities in our society has been created by both parties. And Hillary Clinton, I think, represents someone who may want to advance and advocate for certain kinds of reforms of that system to help make it a little bit more fair. Bernie Sanders is calling for an overhaul of that system.
I want to ask you, you heard us talking to Steve Cazella about this WBUR poll result on this question, that 60% of likely Democratic voters in New Hampshire say they'd be okay with a Democratic, that a Democratic socialist president would be acceptable. Does that surprise you? Does that represent a sort of changing of political attitudes in this country, in your view?
You know, I was struck by the fact that it's a solid majority of people that say that they'd be okay with a Democratic Socialist president. What I want to know is, what do people who are being polled think about what Democratic Socialism is? How are they defining it?
Right.
I think the challenge for Sanders, frankly, and for anybody who's going to support him in this election, is that he's going to have to define it before it's defined for him. And I think he's starting to do that, but he has yet to do it comprehensively. And I think that the Trump the conflation or elision of socialism and communism is actually quite dangerous, and also a sign of things to come, that Sanders needs to get out ahead of this and define what he means by democratic socialism and make it appealing to people in this country who are struggling because of the breakdown of capitalism and the acceleration of this inequality and wealth at the top.
Yeah, interesting that you say he needs to get out in front of it, because mm-hmm. of course, for a generation of Americans, socialism conjures up something kind of scary.
Yep.
The Soviet Union, command and control, centralized economy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still puzzled about what explains why we're seeing more acceptance of the idea of democratic socialism, if that's what the poll is suggesting.
Yeah,
why we're seeing it now?
Well, I think part of the reason why we're seeing it now is that people, you don't need to be a political scientist or an expert on the economy to be able to see that our economy is struggling, and that people are struggling,
mm-hmm.
and that people are saddled by debt and student loans, that the banks are out of control, that the gap between rich and poor is growing, that working people are increasingly in dire straits in this country, that it's harder for people to move from the working class to the middle class to some kind of elite position. It's harder for people to get a college education or afford a college education, have access to health care, et cetera. So you don't need to have a PhD to understand that our society has major problems. And Bernie Sanders is offering a progressive plan to transform those things into a fairer society and a more equitable society. That said, I don't think Bernie Sanders needs to go to Sweden and Denmark for examples of socialism working and for socialist tradition in the United States. There's a longstanding socialist tradition in the United States, dating back to the utopian communities of the antebellum period, the abolitionists, the early labor movement, all the way through the socialists and anarchists, the civil rights movement, the New Left, on down to Occupy and other political projects, Black Lives Matter and others. And so there's a rich socialist tradition in the United States, not necessarily one that has won in droves at the ballot box. And that's the cautionary tale from our history of socialism in the United States. But many of the most progressive things that have happened in our society throughout the history of the United States have been socialist alternatives to the status quo, including the capitalist status quo.
To what extent do you think, though, someone like Bernie Sanders, who is adopting, and he's adopted it long ago, it's not like he's trying it on for fashion, but this term, democratic socialist, could really work against him, as opposed to just saying, I'm a Democrat, and here are the issues that I'm focusing on? Because a lot of the issues that he focuses on actually poll pretty well. Most Americans, you know, leading up to the through the debate about Obamacare, were in favor of a single-payer health system. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me as soon as you call it part of democratic socialism, it kind of becomes radioactive. It allows the right to kind of swoop in and say, he's a socialist.
Yeah.
Well, no one's going to vote for a socialist.
Yeah, it's not just the right. I mean, I think Hillary Clinton is going to do this at some point, too, if he gets too close to her. But the thing that I think Sanders needs to do is he needs to give a very clear and succinct definition of democratic socialism as a form of progressive, as a progressive political agenda and economic agenda, as a social justice agenda, and then yoke it and link it to these policies that are actually quite popular about universal health care, about a living wage, these kinds of things that make people's lives better in a real tangible way. So I think he should define it. He needs to get out ahead of it, give a speech like JFK did on Catholicism when he was running in 1960, that Romney gave on Mormonism when he was running the last time. Give a speech on this, define it, but then define it using concrete policy examples and policy proposals that are winning with the majority of Americans.
Listeners, we're talking to Tim McCarthy. He's director of the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard Kennedy School. And we're talking about what democratic socialism is, what it means, and we're talking about it in context of this WBUR poll of likely voters in New Hampshire. Join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Waltham. Hi, Joe, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for calling. I'm a Goldwater Republican, and I tell you, I love Bernie Sanders because the country has changed since those days, and the Republican Party has become owned by the richest people in the planet, and they have no regard for other Americans. I consider Americans all one big family, and in your family, you want to help everybody get by. You don't just want to. How would you feel if you were very rich and your mother was out there in the street? Well, the Republicans don't care about that, and Bernie Sanders does. So you can call him anything you want. Of course, that moron Trump is going to say he's a communist, but most of European countries have democratic socialism parties that are either in power or have been in power or will be in power.
Well, Joe, I'm intrigued that you call yourself a Goldwater Republican, because of course in his day Goldwater would not have countenanced anyone who called himself a socialist anything or in anything socialist.
Yeah, I was opposed to socialism back then as well. But the country has changed, the world has changed. Bernie recognized that. Hillary Clinton just goes whatever way the wind is blowing. And she has absolutely no convictions.
All right, Joe.
Bernie does.
All right, Joe. We appreciate it. A former Goldwater Republican and apparently a Bernie Sanders supporter. What do you think, Tim? What do you hear in Joe's?
Well, I couldn't help but laugh. I mean, I love Joe's intervention there. I couldn't help but laugh when he said he was a Goldwater Republican. So was Hillary Clinton, of course, back in the day.
Good point.
We remember that. Even she's acknowledged that. I do think the world has changed. And part of what's happened in the world is that the old school communist state-controlled economies that people remember from the Cold War as being the sort of former boogeyman, the boogeyman that I grew up with as a young kid in the Cold War era and the Reagan era, that world has changed, and there are different bad guys. And one of the bad guys is inequality, right? Mm-hmm. One of the bad guys in the United States is economic inequality, and our system of the economy and our political system is not doing enough to change the realities that people are facing every day. I also think you have a younger generation of folks who have come of age in a post 9/11 world, in the, you know, shaped and forged in the crude, their identity as a generation has been forged in the Great Recession and in the stagnant recovery, and they too they're feeling vulnerable, they're feeling insecure, they're feeling like their prospects for opportunity, which have so often been part of that, you know, great myth of America of upward mobility, are eclipsed and have been eclipsed, and they're drawn to Sanders, I think, because he offers the most progressive political project to alleviate that and change that.
I'm glad you brought up younger voters, because we were talking about this morning in our editorial meeting, and it's true as well for a whole younger, and the polling, the WBUR poll sort of draws this out, that you've got a whole generation of people that are coming of age who don't have that memory of the Cold War, and therefore socialism, communism doesn't necessarily, touch those hot button around that issue.
Yeah, it doesn't. When young people think about socialism now, they're not thinking about the Soviet Union,
right?
And when you talk about democratic socialism, the democratic part of that framing functions in two ways. One, if it's a big D democratic socialism, then it's identified with the Democratic Party. Of course, half the country does identify as Democrats, and that works in that way. But if it's a small D democratic socialism, it hits a nerve with our longstanding democratic ethos of directly electing those who represent us in government. And so I think it works positively in both of those ways, as both an identification of a party and an identification of a political process or worldview.
Tim, let me we have less than a minute left, mm-hmm. So I'm just going to ask this really quickly. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I think it's unlikely that Bernie Sanders is going to be elected president, but can he win without winning? That is, starting this conversation, pushing this conversation about democratic socialism as a way to sort of prove that there's a liberal movement in the Democratic Party that has a lot of power and influence.
Of course he can win without winning, and he may win outright. He'll win without winning, like the civil rights movement won without winning, like the abolitionists won without winning, like the women's movement and other socialist formations before this time have won. You don't have to become the president of the United States to shape and transform the political conversation in the United States.
All right. Tim McCarthy of the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listeners, stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks with Venkat Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.